Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You're listening to Achtung Lowell, broadcasting from the beautiful South Birmingham. Accept no substitute.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, once again to the world-famous Achtung Lowell, broadcasting in over 300 countries across the world. That's what we reckon. I don't know. They're not accurate, these stats. They're really not. My name is Aaron Paul. Delighted to be with you once again as we look back on defeat in the Carabao Cup. No one liked it anyway. And a look ahead to another rampage in the league. Joining us this week, of course, the Bogfather Daddy himself, Mr. Nick Carr.
Greetings, dear listeners, in that post-Caribou come down, post-buzz. Next morning, it's a bit flat.
Yeah, and the voice of acting himself, the voice of reason, the voice of dread to others, it is young Harold Warren.
Good afternoon.
Good to have you, pal. And a proper special guest with us. I feel quite privileged to have him on. It's Director of Communications, Director of Media Communications at Millwall Football Club, Billy Taylor. How are you, Bill?
Afternoon, gents. How are we?
Good, thanks, Bill. Good to have you on board. I'll kick things off. Billy, I think towards the back end of last season, obviously, we had a very, very special set of rules that were governing our game. And I think my first game back was actually at the Den, and I was quick to sort of highlight how well you'd organised things. I don't think you expected it to be as sort of radical again this season, did you?
No, obviously we was hoping, right from the back end of last season that the start of this campaign would be with fans in attendance. I can't remember the exact dates when we found out that probably wouldn't be the case. I think we was caught a little bit cold going back some weeks or possibly months when Boris said that there'd be no fans in stadiums until October the 1st. So we were kind of initially disappointed that we'd start without fans. But obviously, you know, the process of then building and preparing towards getting, you know, Lions fans back into the Den began in earnest, really. And that's what we were preparing for until this week's unfortunate news in the media.
How hard has this been, though, to organise sort of logistically? I mean, from what I've seen, everything's been done very, very well. Everything's been very clear in terms of what you want. But for you behind the scenes, this must be manic.
I think there's plenty of staff here that have worked incredibly hard over the past few months. My involvement in the kind of logistical side of things has been minimal, so I'm not going to try and take any credit for it. But you know, things like the turnstiles and the sanitising stations, which you've seen on social media over the past few days, is really pretty much the smallest part of it. It's the strategy and logistical side which has taken a long time, both in terms of making the Den a sort of COVID secure environment, as well as the ticketing element, which has been a massive job. So the staff here inside the club that have just done so much phenomenal work, you know, in a relatively short period of time. So obviously, as I said, the news this week was a, you know, pretty monumental blow to, I think, particularly to those staff who have just been outstanding in recent weeks and months.
We're just searching for Billy's a kick in the bollocks, mate, because it came with zero pre-warning, didn't it? I mean, it came out of a bolt out of the blue, so to speak.
Yeah, it didn't. I think the first I heard of it, obviously we knew that case numbers were rising, so we was conscious that things were not looking great. But the first I heard was in the early hours of, would have been Tuesday morning, when my phone went off and someone had just sent me a link to a BBC article which Dan Rowan had done, which sort of confirmed that there'd be no fans back in October, and that decision was obviously being reviewed. And I think that's what, and obviously Michael Gove then confirmed it on Breakfast TV on Tuesday morning. And I think really that was what was disappointing, that, you know, clubs up and down the country, including ourselves, learnt of this, you know, fairly sizable blow through the media, and that sort of rankled quite a lot. I don't think that should have happened that way. But obviously, at the same time, I understand the way that things work in the world these days. It's hard for anything not to be leaked. And I'm sure there would have been a deliberate strategy behind that. But yeah, that was disappointing, and certainly came as a surprise, particularly 24 hours after we put season tickets back on sale.
Yeah, which was a heartening sight. I mean, obviously, follow it on the social media, and to see the club, you know, after a difficult summer time with the restart, and then, you know, the many questions that you must get asked via social media of what's happening, when will this happen, when will that happen, to start to see the club selling season tickets, and for there to be clearly a lot of work's gone into this. But I mean, Carl Bates showed a video of the turnstile arrangements in the car park outside. You know, it looks very different to the last time that I was at the Den. So a lot's gone into this. And then to have the rug pulled under your feet with pretty much, you know, zero warning is a body blow. And it's, let's be honest, this is an industry, a football industry, that is, you know, rocking at the moment already. This is going to run deep, not just at Millwall, which is our focus, but, you know, other clubs across the EFL.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's probably a little bit of a split in the debate between Premier League and EFL, in that, as we all know, Premier League clubs are far more reliant on TV revenues than they are match day income. But that's not to say that isn't obviously massively important to them as well. But, you know, for EFL clubs, it's pretty much the primary source of income for all the 72 teams throughout the EFL. And that's obviously absolutely the case for us. So to continue going without that income for another undetermined amount of time as of yet, it is a massive challenge. And, you know, we put season tickets on sale on Monday because we were preparing for that October date. We were preparing for Luton to be that first game.
Yeah,
and we were really hopeful that Saturday's game against Brentford was going to be a pilot event. So we were getting things ready for that as well. And the actual, you know, the process of putting season tickets on sale was, you know, the culmination of months of hard work. We switched tickets in provider over the summer, which means working with a new website, the kind of the platform for creating social bubbles and allocating seats was another new website on top of that. So there's been a lot of technical learnings for staff here, a lot of communication with Advance, the new ticketing partner. So that was a massive step, both for the club, for club staff, as well as it was for fans. There were a few hundred that snapped them up on Monday. So it was really gutting that, you know, as I say, 24 hours later, we had to make that decision, which was the right decision to suspend sales. Just a cruel blow, really, really, really difficult to take.
Billy, just out of curiosity, are they providing, i.e. the government, providing you with scientific reasons as to why you're any different? You know, what kind of science they're basing these decisions on? Or is it basically coming through the media, the same as what we're seeing? Or are they in discussion with clubs or the EFL? Or is it just literally, you know, you turn on the news and the rug's pulled off?
Well, I've not been party to the meetings with the Sports Ground Safety Authority. But to my knowledge, no, we've not had any scientific evidence. And I think this is the problem for football clubs. It's hard to stomach when you can go and watch football in a pub, for example, with, you know, inside a group of six, which is an indoor environment. But you can't watch football live in an outdoor environment with the same group of or inside the same group of six people, despite there being far more significant safety measures in place to ensure social distancing and correct access and egress procedures. I think theatres is another interesting one as well. Theatres received a massive, or the arts received a massive government bailout, but they've been able to continue being open, and theatres are ongoing with hundreds of people inside. You know, inside different theatres up and down the country. And, you know, they, I'm sure we've all been to one at different stages in our lives. You know, they've got, you know, compared to what football clubs have got in terms of concourses, you know, very small entrances and exits, and
yeah,
yet they're allowed to go ahead. And it's when you compare things, that's when it becomes problematic, particularly because we've not had the scientific guidance as to why football is any different to those type of industries.
I was looking on The Guardian earlier on, Billy. There's a story. I don't know how much we've seen it or whether you can say anything. So, you know, feel free to answer as you choose, really. But the EFL is apparently seeking, or the way it was put in the story, expecting some kind of short-term government assistance. I'm going to guess that's similar to the arts package that you've just described for some, that would be for sports, which would include football. My eye fell upon short term because that expects that this is going to be over and done with fairly soon, which I just can't see. I mean, the current restrictions are in for potentially up to 6 months, and the winter seems to be commonly felt to be the hardest part of what we're going to face. So you're kind of looking at a 6 month period in reality. But have you seen anything of that? Have you heard anything about this government assistance, or is that just talk at the moment, to your knowledge?
A talk at the moment. We also saw the statement from the EFL, which eventually came out yesterday. Rick Parry's met with DCMS along with the Premier League and other sports, sort of heads of sports governing bodies. We wait with bated breath. We don't know any more than what you guys know on that. I think really some sort of, if we're speaking completely honestly, some sort of government assistance is almost entirely appropriate and necessary, given it is the government that is essentially shutting us down for another extended period of time. And obviously we hope for good news, because that's going to be important for the club in terms of its finances moving forward.
I mean, the government, I'm going to make no particular political point here, but the government have imposed a set of rules on Mill FC, a business, and other businesses in the various football clubs across the country. They've imposed a set of rules on you. They've required that you jump through a million and one hoops to get to a point where you could start trading again as the business that you are. And then at the last moment, they said, no, you can't do that anymore. It must beg the idea, at least, that the government assists this industry that it is otherwise putting the boot into. Because, I mean, I'm just looking at Steve's story to the London News Network. He calls it a disgrace. I mean, it feels like you're being throttled with no way out of the situation.
Yeah, and I just wonder, again, speaking completely honestly, whether sort of non-football following public and the news media, their perception of football as this sort of ultra-rich industry is having a negative impact, probably from a PR point of view, towards what the government do for the game. So we know that there are players at the top end of the league pyramid that earn significant sums of money, but there's also staff behind the scenes who don't. And the closure of stadiums affects staff as it does players who go out there and play on the pitch. So I think it's, from a PR point of view, it's a difficult one for the government. I've made the point over the past couple of days that if case numbers continue to rise and they allow sort of mass sporting events to go ahead, then they leave themselves open for criticism. So I think that's probably part of their thinking, but ultimately, these football clubs, us included, I know Steve keeps using the phrase community assets, but that's exactly what they are. You know, we're not just a football club who operates and pays players and pays staff and hosts matches. You know, we do a lot of work in the community. A couple of years ago, we had the work of the trust valued, and I think it was around £10 million. So, you know, if you let football clubs die, then that work dies with it, and that's not something that local councils and boroughs can just replace. They don't have 10 million spare to just start carrying out all the work that the clubs are doing. So I think it really goes beyond just what happens out on a pitch and that match day income. There's so much more that football clubs do in their local communities on a national scale that needs to be remembered at times like this, and I like to think that the government will do exactly that. But we, as I say, we wait with bated breath.
Yeah, I'd agree with what you're saying there. Also, it's a bit of pill for any football fan. I wouldn't just say any Millwall fan, but I'd say any football fan that you were encouraged 4 weeks ago to go out and save your local Pret a Manger, who pay a small amount of tax compared to what the football industry does in tax. to repay the furlough scheme. And not only that, the community assets that, you know, the 72 plus the 92 of the Premier League do. You're right there, Billy, definitely.
I mean, we are very lucky at Millwall to have an owner in John Berylson who has, I think, shown over the years his, what's the word, dedication, philanthropic dedication. I don't know what way you want to put it, really, to Millwall and to sustaining the club. But, I mean, as wealthy a man as we know John to be, no one's pockets are inexhaustible. Did I read that we are running on losses of about £1 million per month at the moment? Is that correct, or is that an exaggeration, Billy?
No, it's not an exaggeration. We wish it was. That's the facts of the situation. Financially, it's very tough. As I said earlier on, you know, match day income is our primary source of revenue. So without that, of course, we're really, really struggling. John is, you know, throughout his time at the club, as we all know, has been outstanding. His support financially is unwavering. But John, you know, as we all know, already puts vast sums of money into
the club. He does.
Yeah. Every single year, and continues to do so, and I'm sure will continue to do so. But we need to help him out a little bit, because it can't just rest on his shoulders to just keep funding his losses and stuff. So obviously, as a club, we've got to try to find different ways of making money, ways which we've not been used to, because we can't operate in the way that we've become accustomed to over you know, all the years that fans have been attending football matches. So it's a unique challenge, and as I say, John's support is outstanding. I think he's pretty much incomparable with most other football chairmen in terms of his commitment to the club and sort of on a financial but also an emotional level. But we need to support him. It can't just rest on his shoulders to keep the club going all the time.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Go on, Harry. Go on.
No, I was going to say, obviously, I know football's almost secondary, but with in terms of those losses, is there any word from the governing body of football around FFP? Because I'm presuming that skews that completely out with operating losses and everything that's going on. I don't really know how you can blame anyone. It's not overspending. It's just you haven't got fans in the ground spending money.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't know the answer to that question. That's probably one more for Steve. It would seem somewhat harsh to punish clubs at a time when obviously that, you know, that such significantly larger operating losses than normal. We've obviously also seen the impact that this has had on the transfer market. No club is really going out and spending vast sums of money because obviously no one can really afford to do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, and going back to your question, I don't know what impact this will have on that. As we know, the kind of profit and sustainability rules are spread over a 3-year period until such time as we know how long this sort of behind closed doors period continues for. It's hard to determine what impact that will have across that sort of timescale.
One thing I did want to say to you, Billy, I mean, obviously you put out a statement yesterday. We'll come on to the details of the club statement that was put out online yesterday. But I just wanted to praise you. You've achieved a rare thing. That's a club statement that's been met with praise and support pretty much universally. If there's anyone that's got anything to say that's moaning about it, I've not seen it. So, you know, well done, mate. That must be a first.
Yeah, I think it is a first. It was, yeah, without being too soppy, it was a little bit of an emotional day yesterday because the reaction to that really lifted the mood in throughout the club, really. It had been a difficult 48 hours, obviously, since the news filtered through about the, you know, the extension of the day to fans returning. And we needed a bit of a lift, and actually the reaction to that and obviously praise for the club in terms of what it had decided to do, which is absolutely the right course of action. No one internally had any doubt about what we had to do for the fans. You know, the reaction really, really did lift some spirits, and it's helped to sort of refocus and re-energise our minds and our bodies on the task ahead, which is ultimately to, as I said earlier, just to find some new revenue streams.
I mean, one thing I would say, I think you'd agree, Harry, you know, as much as Millwall fans can be a fractious bunch in the normal course of events, when the club's existence is on the line, they do have a wonderful ability to pull together. It sometimes defies, you know, defies belief at times, but I very much got a sense of that yesterday reading the online comments.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think I don't think anyone's in any doubt of how much this is going to affect a club like ours. And I think I think it was nice to see yesterday. I don't think I've seen us that united on anything since we got rid of Holloway. So,
Achtung, Mehlball.
The Achtung Millwall yearbook is now available via the millwallsupportersclub.co.uk store. Visit the millwallsupportersclub.co.uk store and buy your copy of the Achtung Millwall yearbook. Just £13, including postage and packing within the UK. It's 128 pages worth of Millwall news, views and opinion. It's a great Christmas present. Visit the millwallsupportersclub.co.uk store. All profits will benefit Demelza, Evelina and the Millwall Community Trust Foods Delivery Service.
Bill, I wanted to run through just so that we I know the statement's online and some, you know, many will have seen it already. I just wanted to run through the main bones of it, if you're okay to do that. The first thing is that the club's going to reimburse season ticket holders, those that have bought season ticket tickets already, by way of a prorated refund based on the number of games you've missed relative to the price you've paid. And that's going to be a credit to next season's account, basically, isn't it? That's going to be a roll forward to 21-22, I guess.
Yeah, that's correct. So it essentially becomes a discount on your season ticket next year. Obviously, we're still desperately hoping that we can get fans into games this season as soon as we're told to do so. And obviously, they're just under 3,000 fans who have bought season tickets will obviously receive priority in terms of attending games. But you know, we're conscious that, you know, there's been a lot of games now that fans have paid money for that they've missed. We absolutely had to give something back, and so essentially, with every game that they're not allowed to attend, that money will go back onto their accounts, in pro rata form based on the price they paid. So they essentially receive it as a discount off of next season's season ticket,
and that's going to be teamed with. For the season ticket holders, the free iFollow streaming codes for all the home games that will be played behind closed doors, probably the bulk of the season, being realistic. Mm. So you'll get to see the home games on via iFollow as part of the season ticket deal.
Yeah, we spoke previously, I think in club statements, dating back probably 4 or 5 months now. We wanted to try and find a way of rewarding, the people that had bought during lockdown or building up to lockdown, as well as those since it. And I think that's a good starting point, giving away the free codes. We didn't have to do that, but we felt that was the right thing to do to reward that loyalty. And obviously we know that could be up to £230 worth of value if it was the whole season behind closed doors, but we're desperately hoping that's not the case.
We'll come back to iFollow. I just want to finish off the main bones of the statement yesterday, and the final one being refunds for the Derby, Barnsley, Swansea and Charlton games of last season, as well as for a community trust fundraising dinner. They're going to be refunded, and any prorated season ticket claims from 2019 to 20. That's where people have actually asked for a refund for the games they couldn't make at home as a result of COVID. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's spot on. That process started last Friday. We recognise it's taken a long time for the club to be in a position by financially and logistically whereby it could start the refund process. And we're really grateful to fans for their understanding and patience around that. Unfortunately, it's a manual process where a group of staff are literally going to have to call everyone who's requested one to sort of process it over the phone in terms of entering card details and stuff, because where we've switched ticketing to provider, you can't switch the card data over. We had breaches GDPR regulations quite rightly, so it was a bad summer for us because of that change, which was out of our hands anyway. So that process has started. So some fans would have had a call, some fans will still be awaiting theirs. And we're trying to get through that as quickly as we possibly can, because we're conscious it has been a long time, and fans have been great with us, and we're doing it as quickly as and efficiently as we possibly can.
I was going to say, if anyone is listening and is sort of can afford not to want that refund, I'm not laying this at Billy, I'm laying this at fans. If you can afford not to have that refund, if you've not had that £20 for months and you've decided not that you can live without it, I think the club would be very grateful for you not taking that £20 not just the fact that it's 20 quid, but it's the man hours that Billy's talking about to ring you up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at the total amount to be refunded. It's 318, just short of £319,000. You know, if people need the money, I there's no argument about it really, Billy, is there? It's just that you look at that figure, £318,000, when the club is on the back foot, so to speak. It's gives you a sense of how much money is involved.
Yeah, it's obviously a vast sum, and you know, again, we appreciate the fans have, you know, requested some refunds early, and they've waited a long time. So it's not for me to say for them to change their minds. Obviously, the situation is now changed in that, you know, we're facing a further spell of matches behind closed doors, and that does change the financial picture. But you know, if fans have requested refunds, they're absolutely entitled to them. So I'm not going to try and persuade them. Otherwise, that's obviously up to any individual fan who wants to make that decision.
Absolutely, absolutely. So our collective following the Millwall's Dagger Depend and I Follow, which is has been a problematic platform, Bill. I mean, I know you and me have spoken, you know, previously about it. It's got off to a bumpy start, hasn't it? The game at Crawley obviously was the probably the worst example. But then last week at Rotherham, you know, they had the commentary in front of the video, and I know it's the only game in town. So, you know, I'm not asking for beyond what it delivers what it should. I mean, I think we're not asking for miracles here, are we? We're in 2020, and this is a video streaming platform that should be able to put the sound and the vision together and keep it streamed for the 90 minutes that people have paid for. You know, I know that you're having conversations with the EFL. I mean, are you picking up other clubs too, or having the same conversations? Is it a Millwall thing? Is it a wider thing?
Sometimes it's just a Millwall thing. The Crawley game was an issue unique to us, unfortunately, on that day. Sometimes there's more widespread technical issues, and sometimes they affect just an individual game. I think the sinking one between commentary and pitches last week just affected us. I don't know of any other clubs. From us, it's obviously frustrating because, you know, we really make an effort in terms of marketing. I follow. There's been a drastic improvement or enhancement in the offering in recent seasons. We've gone from no streaming to international streaming, to then you'll see domestic stream as well as international. We've gone from single camera coverage with commentary and no replays to multi-angle with replays and graphics and stuff. So the actual offering has improved, but that counts for little unless it can be delivered in a technically sound manner. We, as a club, I can't vouch for other clubs, but we here at Millwall have put a lot of pressure on the EFL, not just in recent months, probably in the past couple of years, to make sure that, you know, this product is as good as it can be. Controversially, I might say for the most part it is, but one issue is one issue too many, and unfortunately it hasn't been a great start to the season. In that, I think dating back to the behind closed doors games last year when we had the biggest audiences ever, it was largely okay, but to start the season in the way that we did with that Crawley game wasn't good enough. You know, we made clear at the time that we were putting the EFL under pressure to issue refunds and a full refund, which eventually they did, which was the correct and appropriate course of action. And moving forward, you know, we know as well as the fans do that it has to be, you know, for the sort of £10 match pass fee that fans are paying, and obviously the other fans that pay by subscription, whether monthly or yearly, you know, the product's got to be good. And particularly as it's now going to be the only way of watching Millwall for the most part, you know, it has to be reliable.
Yeah,
has to be technically sound, and I don't want anyone to think that we are blind to the issues, because we're not, and I don't want anyone to think that we don't shout at the EFL, because believe me, we do.
I think I've become one of the EFL online's difficult people. I sent them an email the other day; they hadn't replied back to yet. It was polite, but I think they've put me now in the difficult category. We used to have difficult categories when I was working in housing, so I think that's where they've put me now. So I don't know. we'll follow that with interest.
I think Nick, I'm in the same group, to be honest. Don't worry.
am I right in understanding that the iFollow sales? I mean, one of the part of the statement yesterday, Bill, was that you're you know, asking fans to obviously to subscribe via iFollow, because that is an income stream. The club gets the whole of the £10 fee that we're paying when we log on. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's spot on. I'm going to be quite open on figures here, so people understand the kind of the situation financially. So, yes, we receive 100% of the £10 match pass fee. So bearing in mind 3,000, which got up to 3,000 people we're watching via free code moving forward.
Right.
For, I think, the Stoke game, we sold 1,600 match passes. So that's £16,000. Yep. And for Rotherham, it was 1,700, so slightly more. But obviously, we didn't have the all the season ticket holders watching because the away games are not included in that. So 16,000, 17,000 from those two games. When you consider that a regular match day here, the income we would generate is well into six figures. So that's a stark difference.
It's well short.
It's well short. So we need to really try and drive those figures. And I know that in part is because the product has not been as good as it needs to be. So that's got to improve for those figures to increase. But also, as we were very open in our statement yesterday about football fans generally watching streams illegally. The iFollow stream is the only one which leaves the football stadium in the EFL on any Saturday or midweek evening. So any stream picked up illegally is that one. It's stolen directly from the club. And so anyone kind of paying, an IPTV provider or generally watching it for free is really just taking that money out of the club's pocket. And, in normal times, we accept that that's just the way it is. But it's particularly hard to stomach at the moment when, we need all the revenue we can possibly get. And I know it's not easy out there for people, and people have lost jobs, and generally the economy is in a difficult place. But as I say, where possible, please support the club by watching on iFollow. We are working hard, doing all we can to get the product right. We're putting loads of pressure on the EFL to do exactly that, and hopefully it's it's as flawless as it can be, as quickly as it can be. And we can try and drive those figures because we need to be getting several thousand people watching every game on iFollow in order to help with revenues at a crucial time.
Achtung, Mehlball.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Not just with the iFollow, is there sort of now going to be strategies in ways that fans can help the club other than just iFollow, Bill?
Yeah, so I'm not sure when this, obviously when this podcast will be broadcast, but we're working on a new look membership scheme, which will be exactly that, essentially a fundraising drive that fans will get something in return. So it's not like any sort of crowdfunding or any initiative like that. It'll be a membership scheme where fans can buy into it. It helps the club at a difficult time, but also they get some stuff in return. So I can't reveal too much at the moment because it's still being ironed out, and we're trying to get loaded onto the ticketing system and just making sure internally we're all happy with the service that is to be offered to fans. And hopefully we'll have that out soon, and hopefully that'll be popular. And it's a type of thing that I really think the fans can rally together and get behind.
A bit like the old 1885 club a few years ago or something of those ilks.
Yeah. It'll be similar to that, and there'll be benefits to fans. And I think when we make it public, if fans sit back and look at the potential value that they can make from it, that they will see that it's a really good offering. So hopefully that'll be released soon, and fans can get behind that.
I mean, as I said earlier on, Billy, I mean, I think there really is an appetite online, and I don't think it's faked. I think people do generally want to help, and it's just having the ability to do so. So the membership scheme you're describing, I like the sound of it, because as I've said to you before, I don't really like kind of the begging bowl approach to life. But if you can sell people something and it generates an income, then that's got to be the better way. I think there's more, just feels a better way to undertake these things. So I like the sound of it. When do you think those schemes will come together? Would it be soon, or is it something that's cooking at the moment?
Yeah, I think that sort of new membership scheme will be fairly imminent, probably within the next few days, hopefully. We're talking internally about other plans for, well, that's kind of an international membership scheme. We've got, the massively popular junior Lions scheme, which we're going to have to rethink, because a lot of what is delivered as part of that can't be delivered when we've got no fans at games. So things like that. And then sort of generally more thinking outside the box in terms of other ways we could try and raise some money. So hopefully we'll have, a sort of wide array of stuff out there within the next couple of weeks. I think that's the plan.
Presumably the club shop will have a role. I know we've taken a piss out of it a lot on this show, so you must forgive us. But I mean, that does actually play quite a crucial role in keeping money flowing inwards, doesn't it? The sales via the shop. I looked on the website yesterday, and it, the gear in there looks a lot better, Billy, I've got to say. I mean, we've had our fun with it in the past, but it looks a lot more like I would hope the Millwall Club Shop would look like online now. So that's something you want to press forwards with going forwards, I guess.
Yeah, massively. I think, that's going to be a bigger revenue generator than iFollow over the course of the season, I would like to think. So it is retail and iFollow, which are going to be the two revenue sources. So obviously internally, we've got to think of ways to really market retail correctly, which we're doing at the moment. I think, as you say, there's been the new website is a massive improvement on that. There's new products being loaded all the time, which are good, and we hope will be popular. And now it's down to my department really and the commercial team to market that effectively and try and get into supporters. And hopefully the membership schemes that we devise will include an opportunity to go to the shop and entice people to do so, not just once, but over and over again throughout the course of the season.
I mean, the gear in there was generally quite... it's been a long while since I've worn a football shirt, chaps, so I'm not going to go and buy the green and white one, because I think I'd probably fill it out a little bit too much these days. But it's a really nice-looking array of kits, and the training wear is good, and it's really nice to see it, because we haven't always been able to say that in the past, have we? But to see decent stuff on sale there with the Millwall logo attached, that's what you want to do. I'm sure there's a market for it.
But what's the feeling like sort of in camp right now, and what are the thoughts going forward? Is there optimism like for the future?
I mean, this week has been a difficult week. So we really touched upon the impact of the news from the government and what that did to staff, who really on Tuesday morning were as low as I've seen, certain people here for some time, and understandably so. But we can't sort of sit back and feel sorry for ourselves, because that's not going to solve the problem. We need to be energised and determined to work in a different way to find alternative revenue streams. And I think their reaction from the fans over the past couple of days, and how they've rallied around the club and staff, has really helped lift spirits. And that really needs to be our focus. We need to use that as a catalyst for change in terms of driving different revenues. And I think actually, after a difficult 48 hours, we're now in a position where we're really confident that we can create some sort of unique and different services for fans, which I'm hoping they'll really buy into. Certainly, everyone's saying on social media, certainly attest to that. And moving forward, club staff and fans have got to work together to try and get you know, their beloved Millwall through this very uncertain period financially. But I'm in absolutely no doubt whatsoever that that will be achieved.
Hi, this is Sean, left centre back at Millwall Lionesses. I'd just like to thank all the listeners at Acton Millwall and the show itself for all their outstanding work this season and for giving us the platform to express ourselves, and hopefully we'll win that league trophy for you. Come on, you Lionesses.
Welcome back to Acton Millwall. You're joined by myself, Aaron Paul, Nick Hart, Harold Warren, and Director of Media Communications, Billy Taylor. Chaps, let's look back at yesterday's game. Millwall exiting the EFL Cup with a 2-0 defeat at home to Burnley. Bill, you and I were at the game. I'm sure the other chaps watched it. I felt Millwall did well. They matched up to Burnley for long periods in that game. And maybe it was just that old thing of not being clinical enough.
Yeah, it was obviously a tough game. We knew... you know, we've seen in recent years what a Sean Dyche Burnley side is like. So it was always going to be a difficult game. I think, you know, the players that were picked to play did as well as they could do in the circumstances. But ultimately, that little bit of extra quality, as Gary said after the game, told with, you know, a fairly ridiculous strike from range and the second goal in stoppage time, which is just a counter-attack when we're pushing for an equaliser. So I think you can excuse the players for that.
I mean, I think quality is a good word there, Billy, because, you know, in real time watching it, I said to my wife, not that she was interested, incidentally, listeners, but I said to her that we've given that bloke far too much space, bosh, and there it was, a goal. It's just one of those moments. It's probably about the only error, I think, in many ways in the first half, but that's the difference in level, isn't it? You know, a Premier League side will punish that extra second, that little moment, that extra few yards of space. They can put one away. Where in, you know, in the Championship, maybe you just get that little bit of a little bit more leeway. But I thought that was overall. I thought it was a decent performance. It was a fighting performance by a Mill team that wasn't didn't strike me as our immediate first choice 11 either. I mean, there were one or two players in there that have not featured so much in the league. So, you know, it was kind of like it wasn't quite a second choice 11. It was somewhere between a first and second choice. At one point. Five choice, perhaps. I think there's a lot we can take away from it. I was a little harsh online towards Troy because of the space given to the Burnley player to take a shot. But I understand he took a knock earlier on in the game, which I wasn't aware of. And so, I'll ask his forgiveness for having a pop at him for giving too much time and space to the Burnley man to shoot. What did you make of it, H?
I thought it was probably our best performance of the season, weirdly enough. I thought we looked decent defensively. I thought the midfield were good. I thought Thompson was really good first half. John Teddy Bavarsson played well.
He did, yeah.
In the season. If Troy was carrying an injury, then we basically played with 10 men in the first half. So do you know what I mean? I think we played quite well. Yeah, the goal is the one moment of clarity, and I don't really count the last goal. I know it's 2-0, but the game is all but over. Millwall had everyone in the other half, basically. So, yeah, I think if you had offered me going out the Carabao Cup in the first round, I would have taken your hand off for it, because I don't think our squad is built to have a Carabao Cup run and play in the league Saturday, Tuesday. And the only thing we're interested in is a run for the playoffs. So we're not going to win the Carabao Cup, so it doesn't really matter. So there's some players that are on the fringes of the squad have impressed and have given Gary, you know, some problems selection-wise, then it's all good for me.
What's the prize money like, Billy, in the Carabao Cup? Is it a cup in which Mill would have wanted a run? I know that you always want to win the game that's in front of you, but is it a tournament that is worth the toll it exacts on the squad?
We'll take any money at the minute, so we're not going to complain about an offer. Any cup run is good financially because it's unbudgeted money. You can't plan for a cup run, to whether it's the League Cup or FA Cup, which is admittedly a lot more lucrative. It's still worth a while. Financially it's helped a little bit. You really need games to be on TV to give you that extra boost from the share of the broadcast revenue. We've not had that, but yeah, you still get some prize money for getting through each round. But speaking to Gary yesterday, I think actually the way that it's worked out has been quite good. We played three rounds, which in the early weeks of the season has helped get, you know, the entire, pretty much the entire squad, some very useful minutes which you don't often get at the start of the season. You sometimes, when it's, if you get knocked out in the first round and you're just straight in league action, it's just your, you know, essentially your league team playing Saturday, Tuesday, or Saturday, Saturday, and then the players on the fringes of the squad don't really get any minutes at all.
Yeah,
you know, this, the start of this season has been good in that pretty much the whole squad has played, has started a few of the games, and in now, you know, consequently in a similar position in terms of their match fitness. So I think the manager and the coaching staff has been very worthwhile.
Onwards to Brentford at the weekend. That's going to be a different kind of fixture again, isn't it? I mean, I thought Burnley stretched us a little bit in the second half, but I think Brentford will try and do the same to us on Saturday. How do you see the game going, Harry, on Saturday?
I think they're there for the taking, really, Brentford. I think...
You think so?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think their best player's gone. I think they've got, you know, there's arguably reasons why they can't play very well against us. I mean, I know they beat us last season, but that was at their place. But I think that was more of a capitulation by Millwall rather than anything from Brentford. We beat them at home quite comfortably in the end. I remember Billy the Bee saying on Besotted that, you know, they can't beat Gary Rowick's tactical nous when they come up against him. So let's hope that's true again. I think they won't like playing against Matt Smith. Nobody likes playing against Matt Smith. I mean, you know, Burnley are a lumpy kick-it team in the Premier League. And last night he made their back four look remarkably average from any time it went in the air. So, I fancy us to nick it, to be honest.
Jason Malombi is a source of a lot of... teenage yearning online, Billy. It reminds me of when you fall in love when you're 14 with a girl, the untouchable girl in your class, and you can't have her. You know, there's a report that Gary Rowett has downplayed of an imminent loan return to Jason Malombi from Brighton. Maybe you can't comment, but I've probably been unfair on you on Jason.
I can't comment.
What's the point of having you on the show?
Yeah, sorry. No, Gary. Gary said what he said last night, and that what he said is absolutely the situation.
I'll ask Gary. Would you have him back, Harry? Jason Malone?
I don't think it's whether or not we want him back. I think it's quite clear that he wants to come back. I think if you read between the lines, the boy's not backwards in coming forwards, is he? I think
he
said what he said last season when he was here that he wanted to come play football, and I think, you know, if you've been promised things by Brighton that allegedly have been promised to him, and you're not named in any squad, you're not named in the Carabao Cup squad, you've got to be sitting there saying, why did I sign a contract to come and sit on the bench here in January? Or not even sit on the bench, you know? So I think he will get a loan, whether that's to Millwall or somebody else, you don't know. Maybe West Ham will have him in David Moyes building for the Championship.
I still think that a striker is so important, an actual proper striker.
Well, don't mention Lee Gregory, because another Millwall outlet thinks that he's the answer.
No, not... Matt, I'll aim high. I'll say go for Edinson Cavani. He'll do the job.
Yeah.
He'll do the job. He'll probably bankrupt the club in the process. Yeah,
we'd triple our losses a month.
I still maintain that a strike was needed, a real good strike was needed.
I do agree. I mean, I did a little thing for, funny enough, it was Besotted, the Brentford podcast, and one of their questions was what's the key to Millwall's season? And I suppose it's the key to anyone's season, really, if you boil it down in the Championship, and that's goal scoring and the kind of execution of chances. I think we've got a side now that's capable of creating chances, but Matt Smith apart, we just struggle in front of goal a little bit. And I think that Aaron's right. I mean, problem is these players don't come along very often, and they tend to be expensive when they do come along. But all I'm going to say to the Mill support is stop pining for Jason Malombi. What will be, let the que sera, sera.
I still think there's plenty of movement left in the in the window.
Jackson, in the transfer market.
Jackson Irvine still hasn't got a club. Marcus Madison still hasn't got a club. You know, these sort of nomadic players still haven't got a club. Daniel Sturridge still ain't got a club. You know,
I can imagine that one working well. Daniel Sturridge's work rate at a packed den when we're allowed to come back will go down well.
Imagine him and Matt Smith up front together. That would be brilliant.
Yeah.
Nick, moving on slightly, the yearbook, how's it going?
Yearbook is selling really nicely, actually. I'd like to get some more. I just wanted to apologise when it was placed an order in the last couple of days because I've run out of stamps. This is how I identify with Billy and his kind of problems at the club. You know, I ran out of stamps too, so I know what it's like to struggle in business. But no, it's been selling really well. A lot of nice feedback. Thank you to everyone that's ordered. Keep them coming. We've got about 30 odd left now, so I'm hoping that we'll get sold out probably over the weeks ahead, I guess. I hope anyway, and then we'll be in a position to start making some donations to the charities, three great charities, and there are still some available, so get on it. Visit the millsupportersclub.co.uk/shop and you'll find it on there. £12. And your money will go in its entirety to one of the three charities, which is the Melzer Hospice, the Evelina Children's Ward, and the Mill Community Trust. So your money will go entirely to charity. So it's all for good causes, I think you'll agree.
Speaking of charity and good causes, Nick, we're working on the Act on Acker. It's rolling. It's rolling.
I'll roll the jingle. Yeah, the Act.
It's a side
yet. we have improved the Achtung Acker. Last week's show, we had three right out of the... How many of us are there? There's five of us, isn't there? So we had three out of five. So we got close. No cigar, though. But we're going to... we haven't done this week's Achtung Acker. This show's slightly dominated by the big news of the week. So we'll put the Achtung Acker online once we've made our choices, once we've been in touch with Michael and Mike. And Ryan,
are you getting on the old Premier League, Fantasy Premier League, mate?
I don't look at it. I hate fantasy football. I don't even know how I've become embroiled in this thing.
I'll have a look. Top, we got Charlie Windred with Moy Division. Good one. Tian Busquets, Andrew Crow is in at two. Luke Kyle Walker, Neil Smith is in at three. Ryan Loftus, XG.
Yeah.
Down the bottom, let's have a look. Proper up the table. It's Michael Wills, Real Millwall FC, Shannon Drew, Oscar O'Mara, Nick Hart in at 65th. Okay, in the league. Can I just give props to my meteoric rise? I went from 64th to 19th in an instant in that
what
league.
What was your secret to your success? The fact
that half my games hadn't played on that first weekend.
I'll give a little shout out to my brother who decided to score 90 points over the weekend and get into the top 10. And my dad followed my picking of side, so that's created a bit of tension in the Warren household, I ain't gonna lie.
I hit 90 as well. I was absolutely delighted with that. Bill, you on the old fantasy football? Is it something that happens? Is it like a press officer, media officer kind of? Is there like a separate league, private league or something?
No, we're far too boring. The lads in the office have got a little league going, and they compete against each other every year. It's just not my thing. I've done it several times in the past, but after the first match week, I just lose interest. Yeah. So not for me, but fully admire anyone who's got the wherewithal to keep doing it week after week. And good luck to all of you.
Some of these kids pay constant attention. Ryan's a machine on it. He knows every obscure player. He knows every statistic. I don't even know how I got involved in the first place, listeners. So don't expect me to be near the top.
It was a throwaway comment that I often make in our group chat. Far too seriously.
But do join it if that's your thing, listeners. Do join it. I'm sure there's hours of excitement and interest to be had out of it. But no, there we are.
Achtung, Millwall. Harry, how's things with the Lionesses, pal?
Well, last week they got beat 8-0 in the cup. Against a team that we weren't really sure what they'd do. The girls were blown away, really. I won't take anything away from what Katie said after the game. She was really disappointed in her girls on her side. And they've got a big opportunity this weekend. You can go to the game. You've got to fill in, go onto the Millwall Lionesses Twitter page or their website, and you can apply for a ticket. I think there's 300 tickets. They're free. You've just got to apply, basically, because of social distancing and COVID regulations and all that. But they're playing Hutton, who last season won the teams going for the league. So it should be a good quality game, and hopefully the girls will bounce back.
You're doing the old video again this week, Gary?
Yeah, I'll be doing the video and the photography. I think last week I kind of took too much on. Tom asked me to normally I have Michael Avery with me, so I will give a shout out to Michael. Normally Michael sort of gives me a little bit of a heads up and a little bit of a hand, and last week he wasn't there to hold my hand. I felt like I was meeting my dad as a child or something. And I had Ryan with me, and me and Ryan had to do a live sort of, we were mic'd up doing live commentary for the game on Mixlr. I think we've used it before when we shows. So we were doing that. I was trying to take video, make comments that the girls were warming up 3 foot away from me, couldn't really hear, that are too disparaging, and go from there. So, I think we might drop the live record this week and try and do some more stuff. We will do a live record, obviously, for the podcast, but I don't think we'll do a live sort of 90-minute radio broadcast.
No, it's a lot to take on. You used to do the live commentary on iFollow, Billy, didn't you? You're not doing it this season, are you, mate?
No, I've handed it over to
Max.
Young Max, who joined us back in February. Manny, because I just think he's better at it than I am, to be honest. it was all a bit funny. Obviously, when the games come back behind closed doors, we had Red Zone and Amber Zone. I was part of the testing program, so I kind of had to stay in the Red Zone, so I couldn't stay in the I couldn't go in the Amber Zone, which is where the press box is anyway. So it kind of, that gave him the opportunity to do it, and I've been sort of impressed with him. And it's not hard to be better than me at most things. certainly proved to be the case on commentary. So let him crack on. He's doing really well.
It's a skill. Aaron, you've done a bit of live commentary, haven't you, in your time? I know you do the live report.
Hundreds of times.
Hundreds of times. Oh, well, there we are then. There we are.
To say, I think it's really difficult.
It is difficult. It is very difficult.
It's twofold, really. Also, you know, main commentary is incredibly hard. You know, you're constantly talking. Summarising is that bit easier. But if you're sat at home watching TV, imagine just talking over a game for 90 minutes. At some point, you're going to say something a little bit daft, or you're going to say something, you're going to say the wrong word, or you're going to repeat something over and over again. It isn't as easy as Gary Neville makes it seem. It's tough. But I think in Carl and Max, we've got, you know, Carl's been doing it for a number of years. He's excellent at it, and Max is learning. And has shown a lot of ability. So yeah, stick with them, guys. It's not as easy as you think it is. Believe me.
People say to me, "Oh, Nick, you should do it," but it's not easy, as you say, Billy. I mean, I've got the great advantage. Whatever I do, I edit, and I chop out all the bits of inanity and nonsense, or the bits where I repeat the same word 3 times in the same sentence. So it all sounds like I'm really intelligent. I'm not really. I'm quite stupid. But you know, you have the ability with the edit to, you know, to present a different kind of end result. So I take my hat off to anyone that can do that for a living live.
I think as well, when you're emotionally ingrained in the action, which obviously I would be watching a commentator on the Millwall game. I've only done commentating a couple of times, that have done summarising for the most part. You're expected to summarise a goal, for example. You know who's scored the goal. That's fairly obvious most of the time. You might know, if you're lucky, who set it up. It's not as obvious.
No.
But you've got to remember the move before that. And that's really hard, because you just don't... You just get caught up in the emotions of the moment. And sometimes you just don't know. So you have to... It's watching football in a very analytical and emotionless way, to try and be good at it, which is not easy. When you work at a football club day in, day out, and match days mean so much to you and your colleagues and stuff, it's very hard to watch football in that way. As I say, the guys do a good job here, I think.
I had a bit of a mare at the QPR game last season. Obviously, the goals are sort of flying in, if you like, but people noticed that I was disappointed that QPR were winning. And they were actually like messaging into 5 Live going, "Why is your guy pissed off that Millwall?"
As well, just add, Aaron, you know, hopefully you'll be able to agree with me on this one. It's even harder when there's no fans there.
Is it hard? Really?
There's no atmosphere. So that does naturally strip out the emotion. You know, if you're a little bit less emotional watching the game, that reflects in your voice. So you might come across as a little bit more dull and less engaging than you would do if there were 16,000 people making a racket in and around you. So that's the other thing, you know, it's not really being considered. You know, obviously we read all of the message boards and the comments online, you know, because that's what we do. That's our job. We, you know, have to see what people are saying about what we do and about us as individuals. But that really is the other thing. Just I'm sure even doing reports, Aaron, as you do for Five Live, it's just not easy, because it's just no sense. Just you and you, your thoughts and your voice.
I did Southend Harrogate the other week.
Oh, blimey.
Harrogate's first game ever in the Football League. And of course, they're going absolutely shit all over Southend. And if you look, I think there's a clip someone put up on of me, or no, in fact, it was a Match of the Day account. They've ripped my bit off of Final Score. And if you listen to me, I sound as if I'm trying to whisper. Or I'm just trying not to be heard. Where in reality, if it was a packed ground, I would have been fucking screaming.
Yeah, you shout.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Going. Yeah. And that's what I usually am like. I'm very, very out there. But yeah, I was aware of the fact there was 30, 40 Southend directors in front of me or something like that, or, you know, friends or whoever. And they're all turning around looking at me. You become so aware of things. You know, just it's very odd. It's so, so odd. You become very aware of what you're going to say, because people can hear you. You can hear people. People can hear you.
You want to try doing it sat in block one when people are asking if you're from the old bill.
what you want to do is you want to get a girl's first ever goal wrong with the wrong goal scorer, and then interview her afterwards, tell her that you've called the wrong name, and then next week, last week when she was warming up in front of me, you said, "You're going to call my name right today," and that makes you feel about 2 inches tall. I promise I will.
It's happened to all of us, mate. It's happened to all of us. Don't worry, Harry. Nick, any other business, mate?
No, mate. I just want to say, really appreciate Billy coming on the show today, taking time out of his day. It's been good to have you on, Bill. Much appreciated, mate. And I know, speaking on behalf of all the fans, as we said earlier on, but I think it's worth saying again just before we close, the statement and the boost to everyone's spirits goes in two directions, mate. I know it's had an impact, you've said, at the club, but it certainly did in the support. And people want to pull together. And I know that's, I speak for our show, I think I speak for all of them, actually. That's what it's all about. So, you know, we await news of the other schemes and the other ideas you've got with real interest, mate.
No, thanks for having me, guys. And, you know, just on behalf of staff here, you know, we're incredibly grateful to the support that the fans have given us, not just this week, but obviously in recent months. It's been very difficult internally, as it has been, you know, for all of society. You know, we want fans back here every bit as much as fans want to come back here. And we'll continue working hard so that we're ready for that. And you know, staff here are doing a really, really good job. I don't want to name individuals, but you know, there's some people here that just work their socks off day in, day out, and they deserve fans back here as much as the fans deserve to be here. So hopefully not much longer, but we will see.
Billy, just very quickly, how's Mr. Bye for Now getting on?
I think it's okay. Yeah, I don't Yeah, I don't speak to him personally that often, but I speak to his son lasted a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, he and the family are fine. Very much missing it.
I bet. He's been around years, that chap. Yeah. Les, I think his name.
That's correct. 50 years, Nick.
Yeah, I said on another show, I remember his voice when I first started going. That is a long time ago, Bill. It'd be about that length of time. He's been there forever. Absolute fixture of the club.
Incredible.
There you go, gents. Thank you, Billy, once again. Thank you, Harry. Thank you, Nick. Of course, get your yearbooks. They're available on the old social media. Nick's only got 30 left and he's running out of stamps as well. So get them in quick, ladies and gents. Millwall versus Brentford. Oh, we haven't done the predictions. Millwall versus Brentford, 3 o'clock kickoff at the Den. Chaps, how's this going to go?
I'll start. It'll be Millwall 2, Brentford 0.
Harold?
Millwall 1, Brentford 0.
Go on, Bill.
I always predicted a Millwall win, but I'm not going to give you a scoreline.
Oh,
no. Sorry.
Enjoy getting the splinters out your ass. Oh, yeah. It's been painful to get out. I'm going to go Millwall 1, Brentford 0. Thank you once again to everyone. Thank you for listening to us rant on as usual. Until next week, Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Acton Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. However, it's actually Millwall. Till next time.
For the best Championship, League One and League Two coverage, Acton Millwall recommends the Football League paper. It's got it all covered. For the complete EFL picture, get the Football League paper, £1.50 every Sunday, or visit theleaguepaper.com for a variety of digital subscriptions. The Football League paper. It's got it covered.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.